Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. We're back for another Tuesday with our admirable friend.
Yes, it's great to have you back. And tonight's show, Carol.
Your authenticity.
Favorite.
Yes.
Autopilot and authenticity.
I like the authenticity part.
Yeah. This is.
I got the autopilot part down.
Well, I mean, if you look at the past, we start with a mind quality number one is determination.
Right.
That's kind of setting the record straight that we're determined to kind of go through these things. And the first two mind qualities are from the wisdom category, discernment and goodwill. So they're kind of strategies, thinking about how we're going to discern and the practice of goodwill. And the thing I like about the third or the fourth mind quality here being authenticity is this is a real action oriented. This is when we start being true to ourselves and actually dig into the things that are in front of us and what we need to get done.
It's game time.
Yeah, it's game time.
Taking it out to the field.
This is an interesting show. But let's start with gratitudes.
Okay. Let's. Okay.
You start.
All right. Well, I'm grateful that the boys were able to come out to... We went camping this weekend at the lake, and I was grateful that the boys got a chance to come out and join us for the weekend.
All three.
Well,
minutes.
Not for the whole weekend, but just for what little time they were there, I was grateful that we could have them all together.
And you knew they went out of their way. Remember that definition of gratitude that we were working with this week?
Why don't you
Should we share
us,
that with
buddy?
Our listeners? The difference between appreciation and gratitude is kind of an interesting thing.
Yes.
You know, appreciation is for feelings, for things that we benefit from. When we talk about gratitude, that's like a step up from appreciation. This is really recognizing the kind actions of others and normally contains three component parts to be heartfelt. One is that we've benefited from another's actions. Two, that we trust their motives of their actions. And third, we realize that the other person went out of their way to provide the benefit. So there's almost like an indebtedness that happens when we recognize that. So can you classify the boys coming out as a gratitude or an appreciation?
Gratitude. Definitely gratitude.
They went out of their way. Their motives were pure, huh? And you benefited, of course.
I certainly did.
So,
I'd like to think we all did, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, the gratitude for me tonight is having two guests, Gabby and Alex, come join us. I'm really grateful that they... I know their family well, and I know they had to go out of their way for sure. And they didn't pay to come here today, so their motives are spot on. And I think more importantly, having guests come on the show is a great demonstration of wanting to help others and sharing their story. And I hope we can all be grateful to those that either text in, and don't forget to go on our website, bbsradio.com/admirablefriends, and actually you can text live during the show and give us your comments. But the ability to contribute and to actually share their story is a great gift, because that's the conversation that we need to feel like we're not in this alone.
It's the sharing part that I think is really special. I mean, I know that I think listening to us week after week is probably, we'll get old after a while.
We'll get old, like it's a future tense, not like it has.
No, I don't think it's run its course yet. It's getting close.
Okay, well, let's get into the bulk of the show, and let's start by defining, before we introduce our guests, let's go through the mind quality, in particular authenticity, being the first of the truth qualities. The definition is the honest effort to be aware of the true intentions preceding our actions, words, and thoughts.
Intentions preceding our actions, words, and thoughts.
Right. So that's what we're being truthful to. Authenticity or truth, we're being truthful to those intentions. That's what we mean when we say being authentic. Two kinds of authenticity. And by the way, there's a handout that you can download from the website, on this. But we're just kind of going through this.
There's two kinds of truths. The first one is, well, because authenticity is synonymous with truth. So you'll hear us go back and forth,
yes,
either saying truth or authenticity. So the first one is truth of statement. And this includes things that are heard, said, and done. And this is the truth of the outer world of experience.
Right. So that would be, is it true today, or is it true that Texas has a range of humidity between such and such during the month of August? That's an outer world kind of truth example. The truth of determination, which is really the heart of what we're going to be working on.
And that's the second one.
That's the second one, and would be the truth of the will. And what we're talking about here is the authenticity of the inner world, and that's how we get to that intention. So we're not talking about external truths, we're talking about internal truths. So that's what we mean by being true to our intentions. But regarding those truth of statements, the external truth, whether I tell the truth or don't tell the truth, that's kind of a prerequisite for being an admirable friend. Do you see it that way, Carol?
I do. Because if you can't be honest about little things, you can't be honest. If you can't be honest about things in the external, it certainly would be you'd be hard pressed to be truthful, right, about the inner thing.
Like if you keep saying, I'm going to be here, I'll see you tomorrow night, or we got to get together, and you're not being honest about that, or you actually got caught doing something and you lied about it, the chances of you ever being truthful to your intentions in the inner world are not very good, are they? That's why I think when we raise the kids, it's so important to be truthful in the outer world, because that kind of sets the precedent that it's very important not to lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we often say that because we don't want to be perceived as a liar externally, but what we're really doing is developing that basic respect for the truth that we could now apply towards our inner world of being honest and truthful to why we do certain things, right?
Right.
So it's a prerequisite, this external thing.
But by skillfully limiting the outward truths, that kind of builds our mental abilities, that kind of gives us the most leverage for the internal.
Yeah, well, you're right, because if all you did was spend your life trying to prove the external world, you might never know your inner world. I guess a stark example of that would be a scientist who did nothing but prove the theory of relativity. And as we know, Einstein, who spent a tremendous amount of external truths and dealing with external truths, was also quite a man on the internal world side and had some great insights. So he balanced that well. But I would say, you have to balance that inner truth, like you say, with the outer truths.
Well, because that's where the leverage, you don't want to be out of balance with more outer than inner. That's
right.
Just going to, the closer you can get to the center, the better.
So clearly it's a characteristic of a very mature person, one that's very authentic with their inner world. If they can be honest about why I do certain things. Are you ever around somebody that's very honest about their intentions and why they do certain things, or honest about their mistakes?
It's
a nice feeling to be around those people, because they seem to be comfortable in them.
Well, skin. I think when I think comfortable in their own skin,
yeah.
What makes them that way? I kind of think that.
Yeah.
You get that feeling that they're very honest and truthful, and
And not just to you, but to themselves.
Yes.
And that's where we get that term, he's authentic, or she's authentic, right? Authentic determination, that's really recalling from lesson one, that determination, that we make that determination to pursue reliable happiness, and we make that quest our most important goal. And now that truth of determination becomes our inner compass. In this way, we learn to be true to our intentions. We see deeper and deeper into the power of the fabrications and the way that we actually fabricate our world.
Well, then we've got authenticity drives us to practice more mindfully and skillfully. So it puts everything into context and purpose of our mindfulness practice.
Yeah. Let's give an example of that. You know, so mindfulness by itself, we could be very mindful of eating an orange, for instance. So we're paying attention to the orange we're eating,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not a bad exercise versus not paying attention. However, if you're mindful with an inward purpose, in other words, more mindful of your intentions, you see the leverage there? In other words, I'm really going to use my ability. Mindfulness means the ability to pay attention to one thing or to mm-hmm. recall to pay attention. So if you're really paying attention to your intention, that's a high leverage activity. That means I'm really thinking about things before I do them. That's where my attention is being spent. So when we understand authenticity and we blend it with mindfulness, it gives our mindfulness practice context. So what are we being mindful of? We're being mindful of our intentions. We're being mindful of what we're doing before we're doing it and putting it in the context of skillfulness. I'm going to ask him to put you on the spot now. What is being skillful?
What is being skillful?
Yeah.
It's being...
A skillful intention would be...
Leading you to reliable happiness.
Yeah. Or conversely, an unskillful intention would be...
Suffering.
Yeah, or stress. An action or an intention that would lead to stress for us or for others.
Mm-hmm.
And or others, right? So we take our ability to be present or mindful as to what's happening. We're watching our intention in a future sense, saying, what, when I do it, will lead me, kind of like listening to Serena at the beginning mm-hmm. of our show, right? What, when we do it, leads us away from stress.
Yes.
And others, right?
Well, when you put it in those terms, it shows what power authenticity has. Because once you start acting in a more authentic way, it's like you said before about that person that you see that's very truthful and honest and comfortable in their own skin. There's a certain calm or inner peace that comes with being authentic.
Yeah.
So there's where the power lies.
And there's that inner calm, like you said, and it makes forgiveness possible too. Because getting back to that truth to the intention, if you really want to forgive, if you think about your intentions behind your ill will, there's where you would drop the intention. That you start to realize, like you mentioned that before, that when you see that you're poisoning yourself,
right.
You see your intention, that's what you drop. It's hard to drop ill will when that becomes the action.
Mm.
You have to get to the intention that precedes that action, and that's what you drop. So it takes a while to be authentic. It really does. It takes practice. It takes us to be very aware of our actions prior, you know, the intention. And the intention is really another word for the thought that precedes the action. And if a good way to think of intention is a thought with a question mark. In other words, why am I doing what I'm doing? The why. Why am I doing what I'm doing? If I can be true to that and honest with that, then I can begin changing my life. Because if you're not true with the thought that precedes the action, you'll never know how to change that action. You'll just keep doing that action. That is what autopilot is.
Right.
That essentially flips us into autopilot because we're not paying attention to what we're doing. So that's like driving past the Walmart in the car and not recognizing you're driving past the Walmart. You're on autopilot.
Yeah.
Because you're not understanding why you're driving and what...
You get so many miles down the road and then you realize,
yeah.
I can't even remember what happened the last few months.
And when you think about that, that's really what we have to do is be aware of why we're doing what we're doing. you think about most advertisers and most people selling you stuff, they're really trying to get you not to be aware of why
because
you're doing it.
They want you to buy on impulse. So they want you to be on autopilot and just a blur.
So all of our admirable friends have to give ourselves a break here and realize that we're completely conditioned to be autopilot. Because in order to sell you something, I don't want you to be aware of your intentions because you might not need it. If you ask, why do I need the certain cosmetic, you might not buy it. But if I can get you to buy it on impulse, i.e., not pay attention to intention, I got you. So when you think about that, and you think about the whole fast food industry, and you think about everything that we're conditioned to buy on the action, you really get this feeling of what authenticity is. It's like, oh my God, I got to work against what everybody's...
It's like that infomercial that says, call in the next, like this, it won't last long, it's for the next 30 minutes, and then they keep going on and on.
It's first of all, it's an outright lie, because they'll take as many orders as they can over the phone. But secondly, it's there to get you jacked. So you will buy on impulse instead of thinking about intention. Why am I doing what I'm doing?
I really need it. Am I, you know, who's benefiting? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
The whole gaming industry is based on that. Yeah. The odds are stacked against you, but we want you to gamble.
It's very
I don't want
expensive.
You to think about why you're gambling. I just want you to think about the results.
Sure.
You know? So anyways, that's the show. I'm delighted to have such a great topic and introduce our guests. Alex and Gabby, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Hopefully you've heard the last of our talking and you guys can really...
Take care of the rest.
Huh?
Gabby had such a nice time last week on the show. She came back just to...
She was just saying that to me in the car on the way over.
She was.
Did she?
Yeah.
That's great, Gabby. That's really good. I got really good feedback from you. They said that, like a choo-choo train, you started slow and then you really got strong and confident. Like all of us do.
Like,
Carol and I replayed our show back in the first couple of shows. It was awful. You know, we were.
It wasn't that bad.
But you did one show. And Alex, you're never lost for words, so we're expecting, our expectations are real high on you.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, well, you know me, I put my expectations high anyway, so at least we're all in it together.
But you're among admirable friends, and
yes.
Everything's out there, just so our listening audience can learn and share. And
Alex and Gabby are a couple.
Yes.
Which is really good, so you can, those listeners can understand how another couple interacts. We may end up getting ourselves a little tangled tonight, but have at it, you know.
We consider ourselves an admirable couple.
Okay, but before we get into the show, we're going to put you on the spot and ask you, now that I've defined gratitude, Alex, what are you grateful for?
Yeah, so the recent kind of defining of gratitude versus appreciation has really gotten me kind of really searching and kind of following the three guidelines set up. You know, someone's intentions, making them truthful, kind of action-oriented, and kind of going out of their way. And it's really changed the way in which I see things and really what I'm drawn to. And I'm sure Gabby will go into it further, but I picked the kids up from school. And so today I was really became aware of how grateful I am to my children's educators. And what they go through, and any educator on a daily basis dealing with children and the type of responsibility that that has in it. And sometimes I know it's nice to think a teacher's role is very clean and cut, but I'm sure that, just having children myself, that there are times where it's just as tough as can be, and they have lives too, but that, you know, the smile I see come home on my kid's face, what they talk about, what they liked, what questions did they ask, those sorts of things. When I get that feeling, when I pick them up, I'm very grateful for the educators that they were around that day.
Excellent. Gab, you have any gratitudes today?
I do. I am really grateful for my husband. I don't I'm appreciative, but I'm very grateful for him because, like he said, you know, he's the one that's there with the kids every day when they get home from school. And for me, you know, that's just the tops. You know, that for me, that's just, he's made a huge sacrifice for our family to be able to take on that role. And I am grateful for you.
I'm grateful for you too.
you can't follow a grateful.
I know, but actually, can we? I'll do a joint grateful from the both of us. One of my brothers is actually doing the babysitting, so
yes.
Very grateful for him to step up and. You know, we know what a few kids. Yes, he did.
You have to put it out there that he doesn't have any children of his own.
He went way out of his way.
I can't imagine what he's going through.
Absolutely grateful for him.
We've asked the kids to behave themselves.
Repeatedly.
But very grateful for him to do this for us, so we could be here and talk with you all today about today's topic, which we're both excited about. I know I am.
Excellent. Well, the basic question starts with, Alex, what does an admirable friend mean to you?
An admirable friend to me, you know, as a kid, I remember my mother always saying, you know, that you end up taking on a lot of the qualities of the people that are around you. And you, and to a certain extent, you become kind of that sort of deal. And as I've grown older, you know, at first you say, oh, well then it must be I'm hanging out with the wrong people. And it kind of is an outwardly sort of thing. Maybe it's their fault. And as I've grown up, I've seen that being an admirable friend kind of, you know, that's the mirror, that's the reflection to people that are around me of the types of qualities and the type of friend that I am internally. And so really admirable friendship is kind of this, for me, it's an internal ideal that I would like to also mirror and share with those around me as well. So,
so you think your ability to be a friend and be a good admirable friend is what attracts other admirable friends to you?
I think so.
That's an interesting inside-out approach. I like it. Carol, that should make you proud.
It does make me proud.
You need a tissue?
No, I don't need a tissue, but it makes me very proud.
Oh, I'm sure everyone out there knows about life lessons from Mama.
Yeah. That's, Gabby, you already put your handle on admirable friends. Do you have any more take on it from last week at all?
I'm still working on it, but like I said, you know, finding people with the same mind qualities and also looking for people that, you know, inspire and that you want to, you know, absorb those good qualities from.
Are you pecking away at it and maybe looking for admirable qualities versus the whole package, or do you still tend to look for
them? No, I don't look for the whole package, just certain
things. You're
not
likely
going
to find that at your work.
I know, I don't think I will. But just, you know, every one of the friends that I
meet. You're a banker, right?
Yes. Everyone that I meet and the friends that are, I would say, in my inner circle,
yeah.
They each come with a quality that resonates from the mindful quality. So, and the mind, so that's something that I'm attracted to and, you know, feel that I can move forward and be an admirable friend back to them.
You know, we were talking last week about admirable friends that have qualities that inspire you to want to hone your own maybe weaker qualities. You know, they're like, they're complementary.
Yeah.
I think is the word we use.
Absolutely.
And they kind of fill in the holes where you're kind of lacking a little bit, and it makes you want to be a better person, a better friend.
Yeah. And Alex's approach is look at my inner and kind of make it a reflection, but also the more he pays attention to his inner, the more likely he's going to see what admirable qualities he's working on that he might have as a deficit and segue himself into what you just said. So not only is he illuminating people
like
him,
I do like that a lot.
I like that take a lot. I think, again, from the inside approach, the more authentic you are about your own experience, the more likely you're going to spot this these qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Because either you know what you're doing well as an admirable friend, or you know your deficits.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Once you start living the inner world, you're as aware of your deficit as you are your strengths. If you're truly
very true.
Open and honest, right? Getting back to our topic. So I do like that came up last week. In fact, I used that a couple of times this week because I looked for qualities. I started looking for qualities in people that I know that I was not as good as I'd like to be. So that was
And like Gabby said, you aspire, or it's inspiring to be around those kinds of people. It's not in lieu of, it's just in addition to.
But I think it's a way of saying I recognize the areas that I need to work on. Not necessarily the me that's a bad person.
No.
But the actions that are less admirable that I'm working on, that I'm paying more attention to, it's a way that you've been honest with yourself, that you're saying, I'm looking to others to learn. It's kind of a humility approach towards learning.
Plus, I'm sure you're exhibiting characteristics that they would like to pick up on as well, because, as we said, there's nobody that's the 100% real deal.
Yes.
So, that's a good thing.
Okay, so, let's see, we've got a few more minutes before the break. And
all right. It can't be.
Yeah, it is.
We just started talking here.
Well, let's, before we get into the show topic, the last question we ask is what particular mind quality of the 10 resonates with you right now in your life? Right now. What's front burner out of the 10?
Just one. We can't combine any of them.
Oh, you can combine a couple. I'm sure. You're a coach. You're a mental coach for a living, Alex, so I'm sure you're working right across the board. This is your life.
Yeah, well, that's why today's topic was one I kind of I lean towards anyways. Authenticity really is a big point of my practice, also because it relates so well to one of my, my top strengths is relator. And so I feel I have a natural draw to really want to be genuine. And to be sincere.
Now, related for our audience is what I call the mafia talent. You pick your friends and you choose and you build those relationships, kind of a rifle shot versus a shotgun approach towards friendship.
Right. If we were at a mixer at a party, it would be going and meeting a few people versus going around the room and really choosing those relationships based on something that you find a hole that you can go deeper with. And I think authenticity allows me to go down that deeper, hole to really solidify a relationship.
Versus just a surface discussion.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see that.
Authenticity is on the forefront for me quite often.
I like how you've tied your practice to your talents. You know, where that is a talent you know works well for you in the world of relationships and relating. Mm-hmm. And that you've taken the practice and tie it to what you already do well out there. Mm-hmm. You know, versus, let me take one of these mind qualities and let me go try to be a good, a win others over.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't you, so.
Exactly.
It's not the way you typically behave. Gabby, last week I think you talked about determination. Was it not determination, it was a
persistence.
Persistence. Is that still front burner for you?
No, it's kind of changed. I'm now in determination.
good.
As you know, we're running in a relay in October. So for me, being fit and being healthy and being able to go back out there and run again and not kill myself is a number one determination.
Why don't you tell our audience about what you and Carol and Alex are attempting to do here? What's this thing called, Ragnar Relay?
Yes.
How many miles are you guys going to run?
Well, this one's a trail one, so it's slightly skewed, but the typical one's about 200 plus, give or take a couple miles.
200 miles.
And you got how many people on your team?
Eight to 12.
There's eight this time.
So you guys all go out and you run legs about...
For 36 hours. It's a 36-hour. It's
straight. Yeah.
Everybody runs straight and takes their turns, and so...
And I'll be driving the van, helping you out.
Well, we knew that, but it's enjoyable. I enjoy it. I enjoy just getting with a group of people and really testing the limits of your body, but also testing the limits of things like authenticity. I mean, when you're in a van with somebody, with six other people traveling for hours on end. I mean, there's a lot of wiggle room to be anything but yourself. I mean,
yeah,
it's
that's a great point.
It makes for a much easier time to be yourself, because it's almost like getting stranded on an island with someone. You're really going to worry about these high ideals, or you're just going to survive and be you.
So, Carol, check in on last week's determination. That's still high on your list.
Well, it's funny that Gabby said that, because my determination was waning towards the end of the week. It started out very strong, I felt, and it's sort of like in the middle on a scale of 1 to 10, it's right there on a 5. But then I was thinking about authenticity, and I thought how that gets interwoven in with the determination and how I think that's going to reinforce and bump it up.
Gabby, you're nodding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you have to be truth, and I think accountability is huge. So right now I have, you know, we all have those Nike apps,
yeah.
You know, that tells you how much you run. And today when I was in the gym at work, I forgot my phone. And I said, I have to go. And the girl's like, where are you going? You know, we have a session. I said, no, if it's not on the app, it doesn't count.
You're not running without a recognition of
So I went back into my office and I grabbed it. And probably think I'm the biggest loon ever, you know, because I need.
Do you ever look at Carol's miles and see how she's doing?
Absolutely.
Carol, you look at Gabby's miles? I do.
Because it's right there. I got to be honest with you, authenticity. When I saw her miles were more than me the other week, I just came back from a 7-mile run, and I thought, surely nobody could be running more than me. And sure enough, she was 3 or 4 miles ahead of me. I'm like, I was ready to go back out the door.
Gabby
didn't come back at
me. Well, Carol was.
Mom was, yeah.
And the funny thing is they put like little things on the bottom, like, ask the people how the view looks from the back or something like that. When you're out in front, it's like, yes.
Well, it's that time. Let's take a break before we get into the bulk of the show. Let's take a moment.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
What would we do if we leads us out of stress towards reliable happiness? That's the ultimate intention. What when we do it? Before
yes.
we do it.
I love the way she says it. It's like, yes, that's true.
Okay, let's go to the flip side. Before we get into the authenticity, let's go to autopilot. Let's try to put a wrapping on that. I'm going to throw some questions out for you all and have at it, okay? On the emotional side, talk us through autopilot. How do you recognize it? Are there degrees of autopilot? What words do you describe degrees with? What kind of events, external events, trigger autopilot? What kind of internal events trigger autopilot?
Wow, that's a lot of stuff right there.
Well, just starting.
I think everybody can relate to autopilot, first of all. I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there listening or walking the streets that...
Do we have to define autopilot? Do we all know what that means? I think we all.
Get a good sense of it.
Okay.
It's just, for me, it's just that big chunk of time that is missing. It's just like...
You know the example I get of it?
What?
You're in your car, and usually, or at least I am, usually the radio's on, or you're talking to somebody, or you're doing something. And then all of a sudden you get back in that car one time where there's no radio, there's nobody in there, and all of a sudden you start hearing these noises in your car, and you're like, how did I never hear that? Or when was the last time? For me, that's what it is, kind of like, it's been a while since I've checked back in to see how this thing's operating here,
right.
You know? Let me listen to see if there's anything out of whack, any kind of misalignment or anything going on. Like you said, it's that long space before I've checked back in with things like my intentions and my actions and really kind of just getting a big picture on what's going on.
Do you find that, Gabby?
Yeah.
A chunk of time? Is it like a chunk of time or is it, how does it
I mean, I'll be really honest. I had like a chunk of a year.
I was
on autopilot.
But I think you can tell the truth to that. I mean,
because
you
know,
when
you're
in life, when it goes
when
by,
you
like
have,
you said, went by real fast
yeah.
this year. You might have been on autopilot.
When you have small children and you're working and you're, you know, managing it all, and you have to, you know, come home, wash dishes, do laundry, have dinner, check homework, do bath, do this. You become so routined that you just condition yourself in that daily routine that you miss a lot of things. And so that's one of my things that, you know, and Alex knows this, that I worked on is, you know, when I told him I want to be a better mom, I think I just, not a better mom, but I would say a more engaged mom, where I'm more engaged in each of my children separately, as opposed to like a blanket covered. You know, you've got, you know, your food, your clothes, you know, you're bathed, but more of a internal
boy,
necessity.
That is something right there. I mean, I remember when, you know, the kids were little. I mean, there was, it's a blur. Weeks, you know, a day turns into a week, turns into a month, and all of a sudden you said, wow, the summer went by fast, or boy, that school year went by fast.
So the autopilot for you all is like being so caught up on the action that you're not even aware why you're doing things. You're just doing it.
Sometimes, yes, I would say that's true.
For me, that speaks to the degrees. I know that was one of the questions, kind of the levels of autopilot. I mean, there's that macro, yeah, where some years and some months go by, but there's also that time just in the shower. You know, we're talking a few minutes just goes by, and you just kind of...
planning the day.
You just, yes. You know, a lot of the time I find autopilot is when it's usually focused in the future or in the past.
Right.
You know, it's not too present.
So you're not thinking about what it is you're doing and what your intentions are to what you're doing.
Very much so. And that's not to say you don't have plans coming up later or you have something. But
so this is not a diluted thing. The extreme autopilot is I've lost touch.
I've lost touch.
Okay, but you're now talking about a more subtle form of autopilot, meaning that you're not doing something that's in the present moment.
Right. Right. You've kind of, you know, like you said with the advertisers, you've allowed yourself to just be kind of whisked away. You know, have at it.
Any other things? You guys have a particular trigger, an external trigger? Autopilot in the morning, afternoon, evening? Do you tend to get tired out, and do you see autopilot happening more when you're tired?
I've seen an influx in autopilot since the dawn of the internet, that's for sure. I mean, sometimes I find myself just, you know, searching through. You know, I may have started with good intentions to research something, and I wanted to learn more about it, but... you know, something draws me a little bit more away, and then gradually I look back and I say, well, you know, where am I at? Now I'm looking up at, you know,
an hour
sports scores.
Social networking.
Yeah, exactly. And
you get lost.
You know, you could on autopilot, it's very easy to just stay there and convince yourself that this is where you're supposed to be, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So it can be dangerous. You can go down and be lost for quite some time.
I was noticing dropping mom off at work today, that this morning, that, you know, class is back at college, and I swear half the kids are wearing earphones while they're walking the streets. I mean, is that a form of autopilot? Do you guys see that as a form of autopilot? I mean, if you're listening, can
I'm
you really be walking in traffic?
But I don't,
can you hear
I don't
a car
maybe
going
it is
by?
A form. I'm not.
Huh?
You know,
it's tuning out, but I don't know.
I know that I've had my earphones in when I've been out in public, and for the most part, I'd say, you know, I was tuning out, but that's not to say I don't know why their earphones are on.
I'm saying you're walking on the street and you don't hear a car coming by. Is that not dangerous?
Can be. if it's causing you to not be present, then I would say it could be dangerous. Absolutely.
So how about internal events? Have you ever had any aware of internal events, thoughts or memories that kind of trigger an autopilot or kind of get you caught on autopilot? It's more.
I think what Alex kind of touched on, and he said when you're going, you know, you can be thinking about something, and he said either the future or the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think the past remains a big trigger.
Yeah.
Your history.
My history.
Yeah.
You know, I can get lost in, you know, either reliving it or, you know, going through or those thoughts again.
Interesting. Yeah, I resonate more with the future. I know that when I'm trying to kind of collect myself and kind of come back, sometimes, you know, you have to track it back. It's not just a clean cut and all of a sudden I'm just quiet. You know, it's kind of allowing things to just simmer down, you know, almost like the sand in the water, let it simmer down. And as it's simmering, you can kind of trace where most of those thoughts and everything are coming from. And the majority of your mind are in the future, but I kind of attribute that back to some of my talents, you know, being an achiever and a maximizer, that things are always going forward, very forward for me.
Gabby, you're more of a problem solver, so you're looking
yes.
towards problems in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of they come back up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful you don't create problems to solve them. You're such a good solver, right?
And I could just be lining up a whole bunch of things to do that never get me any closer to my ultimate goal of what
right.
I want
to
get done.
You don't pay attention to the past, which is an important learning part.
Yeah.
So you make a great couple together there when you work in the past and the future.
I saw all this when I saw her first, yes.
Carol, anything?
Well, you know, it's funny. I recall in years past, I used to be more preoccupied with the past, and now I find the future. So I don't know what that says or how that works. I used to be very preoccupied with past events, but I don't find that as much anymore.
Interesting.
So I don't know what that means.
Well,
so I think it could go either way.
Let's shift the conversation in your own heads from autopilot to authenticity. How does that come about? What's your practice? How does that work? You just catch yourself on autopilot and bring yourself back? Anybody want to take a crack at that?
Well, I know it always seems like a shock for me when I come out of autopilot into the present moment. It's like, I don't believe it. How did you, you know, how did that happen?
Of course, a pronounced line of demarcation.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just, it's surprising to me that it's happening. That's all I can say is a feeling of surprise.
Yeah. Authenticity. I spent a lot of time with our children, and I enjoy coaching young adults, and just because I think the feedback you get is so genuine, even from a child. But also, they're just so perceptive because they will really, you know, through their actions or their words, they really should give you a good reflection of kind of how my own practice is going. And I can see through them a lot of times how authentic I am being with my intentions and my actions through the results I'm getting with them.
Mm.
You know, and I know from the adverse when I'm just on autopilot acting, telling them to do this, to do that, just whatever the case, that they're not as responsive and there's just kind of a disconnect there. But when I'm being very true to the purpose of what I'm doing and the intention behind what I'm doing, I feel it allows them as well to.
I think kids especially sense the sincerity of the action or the words.
They do.
They pretty much know what the real deal is.
They do.
Ian weighed in on our chat saying, recently gave up listening to the radio while driving. Has given me hours of time when I'm not feeding my mind. That was kind of autopilot. Now I find time to notice thoughts and emotions arising that I would have completely missed before.
Wow.
That's almost alive versus deceased.
Mm.
That's great. Great comment. I know Ian spends quite a bit of time on the road driving. What a great way to pull back some of that lost time.
Yeah, I've talked with a lot of people. I don't know if autopilot, that's where it got its origin from. It was like cruise control, but sometimes it's the same sort of thing. I think a lot of people, you know, the car is a very interesting environment. or trigger.
Well, it's a repetition. And I like what Gabby had said earlier, that when she got caught in the actions of doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think routines
mm-hmm.
and grooves like in a record catch us on autopilot because we just keep doing it.
We get lulled into complacency.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's how it appears to us, things that we're used to doing so well. And it really boils down to everything else in the practice. It takes work and effort, doesn't it? Doesn't all of this take effort?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so what effort we have, what energy we have after we've worked all day long, certainly has to be fine-tuned and pointed in a direction.
But gosh, so, I'd like to think I really want to try to, goes back to determination, be more determined to be more efficient with my life. I mean, I don't want to get to the end of my life and feel like it was one big blur because I wasn't there for it.
Well,
like, what a waste of a good life.
But by working on the inner mind qualities and having that kind of an ideal, having called the ideal mind qualities, to me it seems like there's never ending. There's a lot of work ahead of you.
Right, but by practicing the mind qualities every day, if you took one of those every single day, it gets you more in touch with the day and your surroundings than you would have been if you didn't do it.
Absolutely.
So right there then, that tells you it's well worth just, even if you make an attempt.
But the thing is that unless you study them a little bit, you know, getting back to that discernment, starting your discernment function, you have to really, you learn by reading and doing some studying. So you've got to kind of do your homework on the mind qualities before you start practicing them. There's a certain amount of education that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this authenticity, you know, you really have to think about what is intention, what does that mean, you know, why should I ask what I'm doing before I do it, so you don't get stuck in the groove on the record. You know, how are you going to get off the groove? You're going to have to ask, what is it, why am I doing this, first of all? Why am I doing this? That's why I often say that, you know, trying to work on your actions without your intentions is equivalent to running into a burning building and trying to put water out on the smoke. The smoke would be the action and the intention would be the fire. So in order to make change, that transformation has to take place at the intention, not at the action. We can look at the action and say, this is not getting us what we want. You know, that's when we feel fatigued, right? This action, I'm tired, it's not getting me what I want. Well, from that action, you've got to work your way back and say, well, why am I doing it?
But don't you think even a little shift is better than no shift at all?
Yeah.
Off of that action, off of that intention. Okay. I gotta believe that just something slight, a slight off the mark, off that groove is gonna feed on itself.
Well, I'm gonna throw something out to you all. I mean, I have found that most of the grooves that I'm on, most of the repeated actions that aren't getting me the results I want, I do them because I like them. There's a pleasure associated with this stuff. And it's not obvious on the front end, but you have to kind of drill down to see that, you know.
Well, there must be some sort of draw, or else you wouldn't be doing it, right?
Right. I mean, if it was something I didn't like, I mean, I'm convinced that we all do things that we like, the pleasurable items, and that's what we do as humans. That's what desire is all about, is we seek pleasure. So if we're doing something and it's not getting us the results and we're fatigued from it, clearly there's a pleasure associated with it. But you have to go down deeper, right? I mean, let's just take something obvious that I find myself talking behind someone's back, and mm-hmm. that's not an admirable quality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to come to grips with, there's a pleasure associated with that defilement, mm-hmm. right? What's the pleasure?
Why do I keep engaging in this?
Yeah, why do I talk about something that, you know, somebody that I know is not present, right? So that's what I find is brings you. So if you get to that and you start finding a common trend in your activities, that you start to see that there's a common pleasure, and you work away at working on that pleasure and finding an alternative pleasure. You know, which would give me a pleasure that I could replace that pleasure, you know? I did this with dessert. You know, I like dessert after we eat, but I was eating too much candy and lousy dessert. So I came to grips with why I was doing what I was doing and the pleasure associated with it, and I replaced the pleasure with fruit. So I have fruit after I eat now. You know. So I don't think when we're talking about getting to the truth of our intentions and we find that pleasure, that we're being asked to give that pleasure up. I think what you try to do is replace that pleasure with a more skillful pleasure that gives you a better result. So we're always talking cause and effect. How do I replace? Does that make any sense to you guys?
It does. The result part of it does, because you know, it's almost a full cycle for me with authenticity is, yes, being aware of the intention, but then acting out the intention that's going to get me the result that I know.
So you replace your intention.
So you replace it. And the more often I am acting intentionally towards what I know is the result I'm looking for, that I think is authentic.
Right. But if you weren't being honest about why you're doing it, you'd never make any change.
Correct.
You've got to find out, and this is what you have to find out why we do certain things to ever change the groove in our records. You know, and that takes courage, because you've got to be really honest with yourself. And that brings me back to Admirable Friends, why it's so good to have you all here, because what would you do, have this conversation with yourself? Right?
Well, I think it went back to what Gabby said originally about being accountable. You know, there's an admirable friend that's kind of a mirror image slugging at you that's holding you accountable for that truth.
But also a friend that's being honest that they have the same problems too.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying the mirror.
Yeah, if I brought up the issue that, yeah, you talk behind people's back, right? Mm-hmm. You guys were at least nodding and saying, I kind of do that too. If you were around people that say, well, that's not the way you should live, how long is that authenticity going to last? Mm-hmm. Right? You're going to go into your corner. So I think the conversation is very important to have. But we've got to get to the truth of why we do things. And then we have to really recognize we're still human beings and we're seeking pleasure. So we're going to have to find an alternative pleasure. Now, I find being a desire, you know, I'm on desire on steroids. I'm a maximizer is the way my behavior pattern typically runs. I want the best things out of that. And meditation and calming my mind gives me a pleasure of calming. You know, after practicing that, I develop a pleasure for calming. So when I find myself moving too fast and in that kind of anxious mode, I draw the pleasure of calming, because it's become an internal pleasure that I can trade off for the anxiety. See, it's always a trade.
You know, it seems for me, and this is in my experience, that, you know, we got to cut ourselves some slack, but I think I kind of know when I'm being authentic or I'm not. And it's taken, you know, it does take one shifting themselves and really understanding, taking some time to understand, like you said, their intentions, their own values, what it is they want to do, their goals, and kind of see that whole landscape and then be able to project, you know, actions that are fall in line with that sort of stuff. And I think typically through the day, you know, I might not catch it, but I can catch myself not being authentic. And that kind of is like a, you know, you'll get it next time. You definitely can learn from that.
And as long as you're looking at it more clinically and you're not blaming yourself for that behavior, mm-hmm. you're seeing it as an action of the past. You know, someone once told me that the present moment is made up of three component parts, A, B, and C. A is your past actions. B is your present moment intentions. And C is the results of those intentions. So it's A plus B plus C. And what you end up with is you've got to be honest about those past actions coming through. You've done it in the past. There's nothing wrong with you per se as a person. There are actions that need to be viewed and be honest about, because those are the ones you have to change, those intentions, that, you know, that pattern of intention and action. So we've got about 90 seconds left. I guess you guys have contributed oh so much on this whole idea of intentionality.
You know, I was kind of laughing internally, thinking this this hour's flown by, but it wasn't because I was on autopilot. I think because it was so engaging, the conversation.
And it's going to be interesting to listen to this one because it, we covered a lot of ground.
Authenticity sometimes can get into an autopilot mode. Yeah. You're so authentic
that everything else is gone.
Well, I want to do in the 60 seconds left is first of all, I want to express gratitude again for our guests here.
Oh, we really appreciate it.
Went out of their way.
Contributing and coming on and sharing with everybody.
And I also to send us, if you'd like a tip on authenticity, send us an email at hello@admirablefriends.org. We have a practice that works. It involves, you know, writing down the actions that that aren't getting you what you want, listing the allure of the intention behind it. You know, what are the allure? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What's the downside or what is the drawback of the, and then what's the fix? And so there's an actual procedure for dealing with being authentic with actions. So hello@admirablefriends.org. And thanks again for listening and tuning in with us. We appreciate all of you being out there and comments. And please write us at hello@admirablefriends.org if you want to be on the show.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you, Alex and Gabby.
Thank you.
Until
next week. Bye-bye.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.